This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Mark Cuban.
How you do anything is how you do everything. If you don't pay attention to detail on the little things, you're not going to be in the habit of paying attention to detail for the big things.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Hey, he wears his hat backwards. Well, I wear my hat backwards because my dad had a fro and I wanted to wear his hat. And if I put his hat on at age six and, you know, he's got a 8.5 and I got like a little 5, it's not going to really stay on my head.
Jeannie Buss.
Thank you for having me. What a nice turnout. It's good to see you. Everybody.
John Smoltz.
Is if you don't have the imagination and the willingness to fail or not being afraid to fail, I don't think you can be truly great.
Candace Parker.
I have so much hope for this generation coming up that have grown up with women in sports, in leadership roles, on television, speaking about sports, speaking knowledgeably about sports.
Pau Gasol.
To me, all the work that I've done, all the humanitarian work that I've done has always given me great perspective, has allowed me to keep my feet on the ground, and has really put and reminded me what's truly important.
Damian Lillard.
That was for Seattle.
Just to name a few. Welcome to Sports Business Radio. Now, here's Brian Berger.
This week's edition of Sports Business Radio is presented by Underdog Fantasy. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and use promo code SBR. An Underdog will match up to $100 on your first deposit. I am loving playing Pick'em on Underdog Fantasy during the NBA playoffs. Got to tell you, Steph, Kevon Looney, Jimmy Butler, they've all been helping me with the overs and helping me win some cash on Underdog Fantasy. So that's been fun. I know Griggs plays as well. Again, use promo code SBR when you download the Underdog Fantasy app. A really fun guest lined up for you this week. Ken Golden, president of Golden Collectibles. He's going to join us. He is the star of the new Netflix series, King of Collectibles, Golden Touch on King of Collectibles. Golden jets around the country with armed guards, buying and selling and appraising $1 million+ items with celebrities, including Peyton Manning, Mike Tyson, Logan Paul, and many others. Over a 40-year career, Ken Golden has sold $1.5 billion in collectibles and memorabilia from many of the biggest names in sports history and pop culture. Ken is a real character. He has some great stories. I think you're going to love this conversation. And Griggs, I know you've been watching the show too. It's in the top 10 on Netflix. It's really a fun watch.
It's so fun. I mean, how fun would it be to just wander through the warehouse of his trinkets and toys? And I mean, just his office alone, he's got Super Bowl trophies. He's got all kinds of stuff behind him. But yeah, fascinating guy. I love his story. Started when he was like 5 or 6 years old, you know, doing what us boys do when we were kids, trading cards and doing the whole thing and running down the street to your buddy saying, hey, buy this for 5 cents, buy this for whatever. And his story has just grown into this huge empire. And man, his Rolodex too. Think of the phone numbers in his phone book. He knows everybody. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's a fascinating show. I love it.
Yeah. And it reminds me, like, his warehouse reminds me of the scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where they like right. have like everything in there, all these relics. And you're like, oh my gosh, here's Michael Jordan's right. game worn jersey from 1998. Here's all the Dream Team jerseys from 1992. Here's Jackie Robinson's jersey with yeah. a little bit of a blood stain on it. Like the stuff that he has. And, you know, it's pop culture. He's got Madonna stuff. He's got Jimi Hendrix stuff. Really. An amazing show. I love the relationship with his daughter
yeah.
on the show. That's a really fun relationship. She's a character as well. You can definitely tell that she's his daughter. But fun show. I think you're going to enjoy this conversation today. We don't often talk about collectibles on this show, so I think it's going to be fun. And again, if you haven't seen this show on Netflix, The King of Collectibles, The Golden Touch, I think you'll really enjoy it. All right, let's look at some headlines before we get to the interview with Ken. Headline number one, Griggs, the NFL draft. Over 54 million fans watched the NFL draft. There were 312,000 fans in attendance in Kansas City. Bryce Young was the number one pick overall. He's going to wear number 9 for the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, the Houston Texans made a big move. They had the second pick, but they also acquired the third pick from the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals got quite a haul for that third pick, but we saw a lot of quarterbacks go early and, you know, overall a huge success for the NFL.
Yeah, once again, NFL is king. You could tell the crowds were there. I mean, I saw a post from somebody this week about how it out, you know, ranked in Stanley Cup, NBA games, tennis matches. Like, it just, the draft is, you know, getting more viewers than most other major sporting events. So it's pretty crazy how much fan tunage there's been. And, you know, I was watching too. And it, as we called last week, we were talking about, is it going to be a quarterback going first? And here we are, Bryce Young going first. But, you know, QBs usually are the top picks, and it's always fun to see how teams kind of, you know, work their magic and make things happen. So it's a fun couple of days for sure.
Well, and I want to congratulate someone who I've known since he was born, Jaden Grant, who
yes.
played at Oregon State, the son of my close friend Brian Grant, signed with the Las Vegas Raiders. This is a kid who walked on at Oregon State and starred there for 4 years and, you know, had all kinds of Pac-12 accolades. So I think he's going to do really well in Las Vegas with the Raiders. And just so proud of Jaden, a tremendous young man on and off the football field. All right, Griggs, I've never seen this before. We've been doing this show for 19 years. This morning, we get a press release from the NFL and from Fox Sports. They've gone back and said, oh, guess what? We didn't calculate the number of viewers correctly for the Super Bowl, which, by the way, happened in February.
Whoops.
Okay. Yeah. So we're in May now. And now they're saying we missed 2 million viewers. So now their tally is 115.1 million viewers. And that makes it the most watched Super Bowl ever. The previous was 114.4 million viewers. For the 2015 Super Bowl. So here's a little bit of trivia for you. And I know this because I'm from Arizona and I worked on the Arizona Super Bowl a little bit with the committee there. The top two Super Bowls, most watched Super Bowls in history now, both took place in Arizona. The most recent one between the Eagles and the Chiefs, and the one in 2015 with the Patriots and Seahawks. So those are the two most watched Super Bowls ever. But again, Griggs, I can't remember where they've retallied the audience and said, oh, Nielsen screwed up. There were some metrics that were missed. And guess what? After further review, we missed out on 2 million viewers. So it's 115.1. So, you know, what does that mean? It means advertisers got more value. It means they can say that, you know, Fox had the most viewed Super Bowl ever over any of the other networks. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for doing this. I have no reason to doubt that it's not legitimate. I do find it odd that here we are in May now, and the Super Bowl took place in early February, and we're just getting that tally. It reminds me of some other things that I won't go into that are hanging chads and other late tallies.
I was just going to say that.
Here we are, and you know, good for the NFL. Look, it's a lot of viewers no matter what. Like you just said, like this Super Bowl, you could combine the playoffs of all the other sports, and it's not reaching 115 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, an average NBA game, if they're lucky, NBA playoffs, going to get 7 million viewers. I mean, LeBron versus Steph in round two of the NBA playoffs, which we'll get to in a minute, it's probably going to break round two viewership records, and you're probably looking at 7 to 10 million as an audience. 115 million for the Super Bowl. It blows every other sporting event and TV program away. Yellowstone, I mean, you name the most popular TV programs, and the NFL is king when it comes to playoffs, when it comes to Super Bowl. So it's a big number.
Yeah, I still don't understand why, like you mentioned, why it took so long and where did that come from? Was somebody just sitting at his desk like, hey, this doesn't look right. Let's go back and recount the Nielsen report. I mean, that I would love to be in that conversation of where it came up to get this discussion going. And here we are finding out that it was wrong.
Right. All right, another big headline that we've been waiting for, we've discussed on this show. Lamar Jackson is remaining with the Baltimore Ravens. He signed a five-year, $260 million deal. He will beat Jalen Hurts by $1 million per year. So he'll make $52 million a year. Jalen Hurts makes $51 million. So it seems like Hurts' contract was the igniter for potentially getting Lamar signed. Now, the thing we talked about and I've been tweeting about is, would this contract be fully guaranteed like Deshaun Watson of the Cleveland Browns? Or was that contract an outlier and the owner said, well, we had a crazy owner, he went rogue, and you know that's not the norm for this league? This was not a fully guaranteed contract. $185 million of the $260 is fully guaranteed. The rest of it is not. So what does that mean? It means a victory for the owners. Now, that's not the norm, a fully guaranteed contract. They can say Deshaun Watson's contract was an outlier, crazy. You know, we're not going to have that in our league. And that will impact Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. Will one of those guys die on the mountain of, I need a fully guaranteed contract, just like Deshaun Watson? I mean, I think both of them have better resumes than Deshaun Watson, and certainly not the off-the-field problems. But, you know, we've used the C word before on this show, collusion. Did the owners get together in a room at the most recent owners meeting and say, look, everyone at this table has to agree, we're not going to, you know, sign fully guaranteed contracts for anyone anymore. Quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, no one. And, you know, again, we don't know that that was the conversation that took place, but it certainly seems like the owners are in lockstep on that. But regardless, Ravens fans are very happy. Lamar Jackson is, you know, at his prime right now. They went out and got him a wide receiver from Boston College in the draft. They've gotten him Odell Beckham Jr. There's rumors that Hopkins may come from Arizona to join the Ravens. So, you know, it seems like Lamar is happy. I'd be happy with $185 million guaranteed. And this is the guy, remember, who, you know, fell in the draft. And a lot of people said, oh, maybe he should be a wide receiver. Maybe he can't play quarterback. Well, he's one of the most electric quarterbacks in the league. And again, if I was building a team, he'd be one of the first guys that I'd want to have on my team. So good for him. And Griggs, here's the sports business angle. And we talked about this before. Lamar Jackson did this contract without an agent. So he saved himself roughly $7 million in commissions to an agent. Reportedly, according to a few different stories, he gave that commission to his mom, who served as the agent. So nice payday for mom. I'm sure he would have taken care of mom anyways. But, you know, they got to keep that in the family in their pocket versus giving that to an agent. And ultimately, they got it done. So, you know, score one for doing a big contract without an agent.
I'd be curious how many players in professional leagues are without agents and how many are with agents. That'd be kind of a cool stat because you don't hear a ton of the no agent, you know, deals like this, especially big ones. But I'm sure it's probably, you know, a certain amount of players are. But yeah, I think it's a win for all parties included, you know, and the Ravens are going to get better. He's awesome. They're building around him. That's clear. I think Baltimore is going to be a force. If he can stay healthy, he is electric. I mean, if they're playing, I'm watching because it's just, he's so fun to watch play and he changes the game. So I think I'm glad he got the deal done. But like you said, it is a win for the owners because they don't have to be locked down to these fully guaranteed, which is tough, especially in the NFL when injuries are going to happen no matter what you do. So it's hard to guarantee these millions and millions when you don't know if your player is going to be playing for the life of the contract. So, you know, NFL's fun to watch. Offseason is always rocking and rolling. Here we go.
All right, let's look at NBA playoffs. Like I mentioned a few minutes ago, round two now is going to feature Steph versus LeBron. It's probably going to break all kinds of viewership records for a round two matchup. And Griggs, as we record this, the average ticket price for a game in LA or San Francisco, remember we were in San Francisco in December, $775 for a ticket to either venue. So this is going to be the most expensive non-NBA finals ticket that we've seen. You know, who knows how long Steph and LeBron are going to play. This might be the last matchup of them in the playoffs. And you've got NoCal versus SoCal. And I went to school in SoCal, so I know what that means, whether it's Giants-Dodgers or when it was Raiders-Rams. You know, now it's Warriors-Lakers. And This is going to be a super interesting series. I think everyone's going to be watching Steph and LeBron. Steph had that 50-point explosion in Game 7 against Sacramento, really one of the best games of his career. But, you know, these guys are must-see TV, and the NBA and ESPN and TNT are turning cartwheels because they get this matchup in round two.
Well, look, you know, playoff Steph, playoff LeBron are next-level giants. I mean, they go to another world. We saw it with Jimmy Butler, too. These stars show up for the playoffs, especially in big games, game sevens, you know, big important games. But yeah, this is definitely going to be a series. The NBA is loving it. The networks are loving it. And I mean, TNT is, we've said it many times before, their halftime show and pregame show is the best on TV. I mean, that's the only show I'll tune into at halftime to watch. You know, you usually tune right out and go watch something else. That's must-see TV. I mean, it is great. So I love the NBA.
Well, Gone Fishing is like a must-see segment, right? Like, okay, the Memphis Grizzlies just got eliminated. Let's see what Gone Fishing looks like. And they've got the upgraded super boat.
Yeah.
And I agree. It's the best studio show on TV. It's very, very funny. The Knicks are still in it. They're down 1-0 to the Heat as we record this. And, you know, again, when you've got big markets like LA and New York in the mix, you're going to get better TV ratings. So, you know, the league is loving the fact that the Knicks and the Lakers are in round two. And we'll see what happens from here. Griggs, last headline. How about the NHL playoffs? So we talked about the Bucks losing to the Heat, 1-8. This is even crazier. You had the Boston Bruins, who had the best regular season of any team in NHL history, playing the Florida Panthers, who finished 43 points behind the Bruins in the regular season. So, like, the Panthers really shouldn't have even been in the playoffs. Then you take it a step further and you go, okay, Boston is crushing Florida in round one, 3-1. Well, guess what? Florida came back and they beat the Boston Bruins in round one, one of the biggest upsets by betting odds and by point differential, 43 points in the regular season in NHL playoff history. The Florida Panthers took down the Boston Bruins, who, again, if you want to compare this to the NBA, this is, I think, bigger than the Heat beating the Milwaukee Bucks, and that was a big upset. And, you know, bigger than like the Giants beating the New England Patriots when the Patriots were undefeated and playing in the Super Bowl. It's one of the biggest playoff upsets ever. Again, if you just look at regular season record, but Griggs, that's why you play the games. That's why you play on the ice or you play on the field or you play on the court, because upsets like this could happen. The other thing is our Colorado Avalanche. They're one of my adopted sports teams because of our friend Declan Bolger, who works for Kroenke Sports. And they're the defending champs. But, Griggs, your Seattle Kraken took them out.
That's right.
So the regular season champ this year, Boston, out. The defending Stanley Cup champ, Colorado, out. And even our Tampa Bay Lightning, who we focused on last year. I went to a Lightning game. It was great. They've been in the Stanley Cup the last 3 years. They're out. So the NHL playoffs is like wild and up for grabs. And, you know, a lot of people think the NHL playoffs are the best playoffs of all. But it's been fun to watch so far because there have been a lot of upsets.
I do love the NHL playoffs, and I'm a hockey guy and grew up watching hockey. So I'm loving the Kraken in Seattle. Went to a game this year with my dad and brother, and that is a fascinating environment. They have a great fan base. So I'm loving this. Bring on Dallas. And it's just fun. The hockey fan is so passionate and they know the game so good that they don't miss a beat. I mean, every little puck drop, every little, oh, that's offsides. The fan knows what's going on. I love that. So, yeah. And how about Florida beating in Boston Garden, in TD Garden, game 7? That was just fascinating. I can't believe they won that. And the series are fun. The battle in New York was fun. Jersey in New York was fun across the river. So that it's just been great. I'm looking forward to the second round now.
Will you see? So Jersey advances for the first time in forever. Toronto Maple Leafs advance for the first time in, I think, 20, 21 years.
Yep.
Florida advances, like Seattle advances. You've got some new blood advancing in the NHL playoffs, and it's been fun to watch. And these fan bases that have been starved or have never been there, like the Kraken,
right?
You know, they're super excited about advancing in the NHL playoffs. And meanwhile, you have these you know, Titan franchises, Colorado, you know, the
Boston,
Tampa Bay. Yeah. Boston, Tampa Bay Lightning, and they're out. So it's been fun to watch. All right. Coming up next, Ken Golden, the king of collectibles, the Golden Touch. It's on Netflix, but he's with us here this week on Sports Business Radio. Griggs, we've kind of gone Hollywood lately.
We
had Ted Lasso on last week. So four members of the cast of Ted Lasso on last week. That's on Apple TV Plus. We've got a Netflix show on this week with Ken Golden. And then next week, we're going to focus on the new documentary Angel City. That's on Angel City FC. It's the women's pro soccer club that's in the NWSL. And they have a new doc coming out on HBO that starts on May 15th. So we're going to talk to some members of the Angel City FC team, and we're going to talk to the director of the documentary for HBO. So, Griggs, I mean, I feel like we're Sports Business Radio, but we're also kind of like turning into entertainment tonight as well.
I love that. We have our entertainment segment every week. But yeah, no, I love it. I think there's so much good content out there. You can't not have these shows on because it's fun. And, you know, like Ken ties into sports. He's a huge sports guy, obviously, in the memorabilia world. So, hey, you know, we're crossing over. We're covering it all. We got you covered here on SBR. Let's go.
I mean, I'm not nearly as good looking as Mario Lopez, but and I don't even know what show he's on. But I know he's been on for a while and he talks about entertainment. But, you know, we're trying to do our best to bring you good conversations. And I mean, that is, I'll just say this, like with these streaming services, they're all doing sports programming, and it's been fun to kind of peek under the hood of some of these shows and get to talk to some of the characters, whether it's Ted Lasso or Ken Golden or, you know, next week, Angel City FC. All right, coming up next, Ken Golden, president of Golden Collectibles. He's going to join us right here on Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Your fantasy leagues might be over, but you can still play fantasy sports games on Underdog Fantasy. I love playing Pick'em and Rivals. With Pick'em, you can pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. You can win 20 times your money in a single night. You pick between 2 and 5 players to build a pick'em entry. Also, Rivals pits 2 players against each other. That's a lot of fun, too. It could be 2 players on the same team. It could be 2 players from other teams. Points, rebounds, fantasy points. It's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying that with NBA games, especially right now. Sign up today with promo code SBR and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Visit underdogfantasy.com. or find them in the App Store, and don't forget to register with my promo code SBR, like Sports Business Radio, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
My guest is Ken Golden. He's the focus of the new Netflix show, King of Collectibles, The Golden Touch. On King of Collectibles, Golden jets around the country with armed guards, buying, selling, and appraising million-dollar-plus items with celebrities including Mike Tyson, Logan Paul, and many others. Over a 40-year career, he's sold $1.5 billion in collectibles and memorabilia for many of the biggest names in sports history and pop culture. This new series for Netflix premieres on April 28th, and it's produced by Peyton Manning. Ken, thanks for joining me on Sports Business Radio. How are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here with you, Barry.
All right. For our listeners, let's start with, how did you get into the collectibles business, and when did that happen?
Oh, it's a long, long time. Literally, I collected as a little kid, I mean, probably littler than most, and I did my first business transaction when I was 12, when I traded my electric race car set for a friend's sports card collection, and did my first cash transaction when I was 13, and then started buying and selling and shipping out cards through the mail, and have done it ever since. My mother always told me, you need to get a work history of working for somebody else, you know, get a real job, get experience. And fortunately for me, she was wrong.
How does the process work with you either being brought a collectible and you have to put a value to it, or you're out there searching for a collectible that someone wants? Which happens more, that people bring things to you or you're out searching for these things?
I would say right now, earlier, you know, I started Goal in 2012. Really, for probably the first 5 years, it was me searching and me convincing people why they choose my company. And really, you know, for the past several years, once we got a lot of news, once we started record-breaking sales, be it a T206 Honus Wagner for a record price, 52 Mantle, or, you know, a Jackie Robinson bat, or anything of that nature, you know, and then obviously when we sold a 2009 Mike Trout card for close to $4 million, people said, wait a minute, modern card could be worth that much. Since then, the majority of people with items contact us, and then it's our job to determine, okay, is it worth anything or not? And is it real or not?
How do you assign that value to it? I know a lot of times it's bidding, but I wouldn't even know where to begin to assign an initial value.
Look, a lot of it, you know, most of the business, it's kind of like, if you can think about it, you know, it's kind of like a real estate business where you need some sort of, you know, comparable comp. Okay. You need some sort of comp. But everything is so often a one of a kind. You know, trading cards are easy because you get them graded by PSA. Rated on a scale of, you know, 1 to 10, you can see what, if you have an 8, you can see what an 8 sold for. If you have a 9, you can see what a 9 sold for. So trading cards are easy. It's the memorabilia, it's the used items, it's the rarities, it's the highest grade of a comic book. It's a, you know, a cap worn by Babe Ruth, something like that, that really are the tough items, or something you may not even think of, like, you know, a jersey worn the first game of Kobe Bryant. Obviously, it's never been sold. What can you compare it to? So for me, honestly, I do it off the top of my head. I mean, I realistically, I have bought and sold so many items that I can say, okay, fine. I sold this Kobe for 3.6. This is a better jersey. So I'm going to sign a $5 million value. It's like when Tom Brady's Super Bowl jersey was stolen, what was that, against Atlanta? It was 2018 Super Bowl. And, you know, it, you know, they came to USA Today, came to me and said, what do you think it's worth? And I gave them a value. And then I said, but by the way, you know, my estimate at the time was $500,000. I said, but based on all the publicity, you know, if it was ever sold, it would go for over $1 million. Because on me, every single, you know, newspaper and outlet was saying, it's $1 million item. The FBI was searching for this guy in Mexico who stole the jersey. It reached the threshold of the FBI getting involved based on the value that I had assigned it. You know, and today you ask me what that's worth, I'd say $10 million.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how much the rare items have gone up, and the value of Tom Brady collectibles have gone up since then.
That's crazy. Yeah. How often does it happen where someone has an item? I mean, you hear stories all the time about, oh, my trading cards are buried in a box in the garage, or I've got this rare item and, you know, my mom put it in a safe somewhere. Or how often do people come to you and say, I have this, I think it might be worth something. And you're like, oh, that's like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, that is worth a lot of money.
Yeah. Most of the time, it doesn't work out that way. The, you know, the biggest things we find is a lot of people do not know how. Trading cards is very common. Everyone thinks they have a rare Honus Wagner card. What they don't realize is that only one of his cards, out of many, is worth a significant amount of money. And there were a lot of reprints of that. But, you know, occasionally, you know, we do get something where I say, oh, holy cow, we need to get that item. Can that possibly be real? And, you know, we hope it's real, and it's our job to prove that what they have is authentic, whether it's a rare document for a historic event in sports, whether it is, you know, the jersey worn during a historic sporting event, a ball used in the historic sporting event. I mean, that's a perfect example. I've had three points in times in my career, I've had people tell me, that they have the actual home run ball that Bobby Thompson hit in 1951 that shot her around the world. Okay, and obviously there's no way to ever prove that. You know, it's an unsellable item. You know, and of course, every time it just is all family stories. Oh, my dad was outside the park and he caught this ball. Blah blah blah.
That's crazy. What is the craziest request that you've gotten from someone who says, I want this, like, go find it and I'll pay top dollar for it?
The toughest is, you know, people wanting an authentic Babe Ruth Boston Red Sox worn jersey.
Wow.
I've never come across an actual example of one, you know, an authenticated example. But it's that, it's a lot of player requests. I mean, it's almost always player related. Can you find the jersey this guy wore on this game when he did X? Whatever sport, it doesn't matter if it's hockey, baseball, basketball, football, soccer. That is the most common, you know, request that we would get is, hey, you know, can you find something from this game? Hey, can you find something from this game? Barry Bonds told me if I could ever get something, you know, used in Jackie Robinson's first game, April 15th, 1947, that would be the item he'd want to own.
So you've got like this running list of, I mean, that's interesting that athletes come to you and want things from other athletes or entertainers or celebrities.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, that's how, Drake is in the, I flew to Canada for a night with Drake on sports cards, and that's in the Netflix show. And the reason I knew Drake is for years, through his manager, he used me personally to acquire things that he displays in his house and to acquire unusual collectibles, mostly sports, some Tupac items. And on one special occasion, he needed a unique Valentine's Day gift for a girlfriend.
Wow.
Which is MV related.
Interesting. Let's talk about the Netflix show. It comes out on April 28th.
Yeah.
How did you decide to do a Netflix show? Again, Peyton Manning is one of the producers. How did this all come together?
Sure. Well, it's not like I decided I'm going to do a Netflix show. Throughout 2019 and 2020, especially during COVID, it seemed like every week somebody turned on the TV or looked in the internet, they saw my name talking about the booming sports collectible industry. So at the end of 2020, you know, we took a, my company, you know, which I had obviously founded, was the owner. We took on an outside investment from a group led by Peter Chernin and the Chernin Group. And that's had famous, you know, athletes and investors such as Mark Cuban, Dwayne Wade, Kevin Durant, Venus Williams, Joe Burrow, and others all took little pieces of the deal. But Peter Chernin's background was, of course, Fox Studios. So the first thing they did was they had also recently made, I believe, an investment in, you know, the former head of ESPN production and the guy who created The Last Dance, Connor Schell. So first thing they did was put me on a Zoom with Connor, and I met Connor, and he said, your life is fascinating. I need to do a TV show about it. And what happened was in the very early stages, he joined forces with Wheelhouse, Brent Montgomery, who created Pawn Stars. And they then put together a sizzle reel. And, you know, they working with Omaha, they showed the sizzle reel of Peyton Manning. He said, well, I got to get involved. How can I get involved? So the three, myself and the three production companies went out to sell the show. And my instructions were always, if Netflix is interested, they have it. So, you know, we showed it to Disney, we showed it to Discovery, a couple others, but when Netflix came in with an offer, nobody else mattered. So, and that's how we did it. And we started, we filmed and completed the filming in 2022.
Wow. And there's six episodes, right? For season one?
Season, when we hope there's multiple seasons, they
right.
signed me up to many, many seasons well into my 60s. So, you know, very, very long term. Season one drops April 28th. We hope everybody loves it. Anybody listening you need to watch all six episodes. Everyone's completely different, and hopefully people love it, and there'll be a lot more.
And I think they're, what, 30 minutes each?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're like 31 to 35. Yeah, they're quote 30-minute episode. Right. Which, you know, maybe one's 29, maybe one's 39 minutes. It's Netflix. They think they're what they want.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. It looks fantastic. And I mean, how much private jet travel and flying around are you doing? Is that a big part of your job, or is that kind of like just to make it look good for the Netflix series?
On a personal level, I have not traveled commercial since 2020, early 2020.
Okay. Wow. Hey, if you can get...
So it was not... You know, the other thing you've got to realize is... Let's face it. You know, think about this. So I'm going somewhere, and let's say I'm going out of the country, which I do in one episode. I leave the country, and I come back with $20 million worth of stuff on a plane.
Right.
How would I be able to be comfort that that is going to travel on a commercial flight, be protected, not get lost in luggage, be fragile, and not get damaged? It makes economic sense. And also the insurance companies, and everything I do is insured. It's cheaper insurance if I am flying myself with my own security guard traveling with me, or in some cases, multiple security guards, than walking through, you know, Philadelphia or LA airport, right, you know, $20 million in three bags.
No, it makes all the sense in the world. I mean, when you put it that way, it makes all the sense in the world.
You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back after this.
5G is here. Is your stadium ready? From an immersive fan experience to efficient game day operations, 5G is transforming sports and entertainment. If you're ready to jumpstart your 5G transformation, look no further than Boingo Wireless. Boingo is one of the largest operators of indoor wireless networks in the U.S. They provide stadiums and arenas with state-of-the-art 5G networks and support teams across the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, and NCAA. I'm constantly interacting with sports executives, and the reason they love working with Boingo is because Boingo manages 5G and Wi-Fi networks end-to-end, offloading very stretched IT teams. Whether your stadium is looking to support mobile ticketing, cashless payment, or connected operations, Boingo has you covered. But don't just take it from me. Their customers include world-class venues like Soldier Field, State Farm Arena, Petco Park, and University of Louisville. Boingo and 5G, now that's what I call a win-win. For a limited time, Boingo has a special offer for Sports Business Radio listeners. They're offering a free 5G assessment for your stadium or arena. To get started, simply email sbradio@boingo.com and mention this podcast. That's sbradio@boingo.com. Our thanks to Boingo for their continued support of Sports Business Radio.
Now, back to Sports Business Radio with Brian Berger.
I'm envisioning like this Raiders of the Lost Ark kind of warehouse that you have, where you have all of your collectibles. Like, where do you keep things? And you don't have to give me like specific location, but I'm imagining you have a big storage facility where you keep these very important items, right?
Yeah. So we're in South Jersey, so we have a large warehouse, large secured facility with 24-hour security and literally armed guards at all time. But we're part of a company called, as part of a deal I did in 2004, we're part of a company called Collectibles. So now there is a literal Fort Knox of collectibles that is in Delaware. When I say a literal Fort Knox, there is actually a barrier to cross a car into it. Okay. So it's heavy security, exclusive vault, only collectibles and only items that are in the collector's vault. And not only do we have stuff there, but individual, people who have collections are able to submit it online and have their stuff stored there free of charge.
Wow. That's amazing. I can't wait to watch the show. And I'm assuming, like, you know, this facility is shown in the show, right?
Our warehouse is shown in the show. The facility itself is not. This facility is not shown in the show. Maybe in season two.
Right. Your private collection. I mean, I'm imagining just like if you were drinking wine, like you might be out there selling wine to others, but you've got your private collection that you want. What's in your private collection, things that you treasure from your life?
Sure. I mean, so look, I collect, you know, my first love is baseball and baseball game used and older baseball cards. So, I mean, everyone knows about the famous T206 set. I own a complete T206 set. I own a lot of the early sets up through the 1970s. I'm a big game used collector. Recently did a video on my favorite and best collectible, which I store at the collector's vault as an example. And that is a game used bat of Babe Ruth used during his 60 home run season in 1927. So if you want to own a Babe Ruth bat, might as well use it from 1927, right? But you know, I collect some comic books. I collect just really cool stuff that, you know, that fascinates me. Like I saw this, and you know, I saw this up for auction, and I said, I need to own this. This is just like so cool. It's a piece of history. And a lot of people don't know this. Jackie Robinson didn't magically retire in 1956. Jackie Robinson, you know, Dodgers probably hate this part of the history now, but he was traded by the Brooklyn Dodgers to New York Giants in December of 1956. As opposed to getting traded, he retired. I have the actual signed trade contract that showed that he was being sold, I believe it was $30,000 and a minor league player, to the New York Giants. And I have the signed contract by the Brooklyn Dodgers in my personal collection. I just think that is just such a cool item. I mean, like, you know, this item doesn't exist. I can't imagine it exists anywhere. But do you ever see the movie 8 Men Out?
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, I'm sure you read the book. And that's the most of it's a true story. And the fact that Joe Jackson signed a confession and it was lost to trial, you know, it magically disappeared is true. Can you imagine finding that signed confession? That's always been like my personal number one thing of my life. If that exists, if somebody took it and kept it, I'd love to get it.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Mm-hmm. All right, so why I have you on, I want to ask you this. I had the opportunity a few years ago, I was doing some work for Nike, and mm-hmm. I had a chance to have dinner with George Raveling. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you know the George Raveling story of he did security for Martin Luther King at the I Have a Dream speech.
Yep.
And no one knew this speech was going to become what it became. And he asked Dr. King if he could have the copy of the speech.
Yep.
And he has this in his possession. What do you think that's valued at? I mean, I've often wondered.
It's funny. You know, it is a small world. I've dealt with his son.
Okay.
And I dealt with his son on specifically appraising that exact document.
Wow.
So I do have a copy of it. And, you know, the unfortunate thing about that is that a lot of the ending part, if you've ever seen the document, was ad-libbed. So
right.
it's not in the notes, but, you know, I've appraised it in excess of $10 billion.
Wow. So that's one of those one of a kind, like, you know, just rare, kind of what you just talked about, like the confession.
Yes.
That, you know, if you get your hands on that, that's one of one.
Exactly. Okay. And then that's the type of thing, quite frankly, if you know, you don't know what's going to happen in an auction, something like that, you know, you may find the right benefactor that wants to buy it and gift it to the Smithsonian. And you may say to them the cost of $25 million. And they may say, sure, it's a great piece of American history. It belongs on display forever. And they just may pay $25 million for it, even though it might be appraised at a lower number.
Wow. Going back to the Netflix show, what was the most fun you had doing season one? Like, was there a moment that stood out to you?
Yeah, the Mike Tyson was a pleasure to work with and a riot. But, you know, and then that, like, incredible. But the two most dramatic scenes to me, people are not going to see that, like, I think episode 4 through 6. And without making name, there was one unbelievable collection of, you know, historical basketball items that I got from outside the country with a non-celebrity. That was very, very, very tense because they filmed a live deal.
Mm.
Okay, in progress. I went down there with the hopes of getting a deal and did not know if I would be coming back empty-handed. So that was like the highlight and most stressful. But the funnest and craziest individual that I worked with on season one, got to be Logan Paul.
Okay. Well, I'm sure everyone's anxiously anticipating the debut of King of Collectibles, The Golden Touch, April 28th on Netflix. Before I let you go, you know, like you said, you've been doing this for a long time. How has the industry evolved and changed over the time that you've been doing this?
Oh, my God. So, look, if you go back to the time when I was a kid, when I was buying and selling stuff, you know, forget the fact that there were no mobile phones. Forget the fact that, you know, that maybe the Apple One was the only computer in existence. Forget the fact that there was no internet. There were no price guides. There were no written price guides. So I was buying and selling cards. There were zero price guides. And also, you had to hide. You like, literally, if you collected cards, you collected sports memorabilia, you didn't go to parties and talk about it. It wasn't an asset. It was a waste of money, right? So it has evolved into a big business where there are apps online that give you an estimated value of what everything's worth. There are third-party authenticators like PSA that will seal up a card and tell you exactly what it's worth and tell you if an autograph is real or not. There are comps galore. It really has elevated into part of our culture and really, for a lot of people, an alternative asset class, which is certainly not what, you know, I expected when I was a little kid on, you know, buying and selling baseball cards.
Do you find more people are collecting high-priced items just because they want to have that item or because they see it as a future investment?
I believe my personal opinion is I think that the memorabilia is more emotional. I had a billionaire spend $3.6 million on a rookie photo match Kobe jersey. It's because his son won the jersey. And, you know, they love Kobe and they're from LA. And they were competing against similar people. So I think memorabilia is more of a personal choice, you know, bringing back memories, being part of history, capturing a moment, owning a piece of it. And that is probably more for, you know, their pleasure, personal. If they happen to decide to sell and make money, that's great. I think the trading cards, the majority is very much a business. People are looking to buy slab graded cards, get the highest possible graded, put it in the set registry, and, you know, a lot of people hope it appreciates and then sell it.
Ben Golden, King of Collectibles, The Golden Touch. It debuts on Netflix on April 28th. Thank you so much. This has been a great conversation, and I can't wait to watch the show. I've seen the trailer, and it looks very appealing.
Thank you very much, Brian. I hope everyone watches it, enjoys it, and hope to be doing it again with this with you next year for season 2.
That would be great. You're listening to Sports Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Talent, hard work, focus, and determination got you here. Now take the right steps to prepare for your future and ensure that you stay at the top of your game, your business, your craft. Morgan Stanley Sports and Entertainment is a division of Morgan Stanley Wealth Management, dedicated to serving the unique and sophisticated needs of elite and professional athletes, entertainers, executives, creators, and other top talent and professionals in the sports and entertainment industry. They deliver the education, strategies, and expertise you need to help advance your financial game plan at every stage of your career journey. They speak the language. They know your business. Morgan Stanley will work with you to achieve your goals. I've trusted Morgan Stanley with my personal wealth management for almost 20 years. Visit Morgan Stanley at morganstanley.com/GSE. Well, that's it for this edition of Sports Business Radio. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks to our team at Sports Business Radio, Brian Griggs, Josh Blank, Ryan Nakajima, and our friends at CG Sports who power Sports Business Radio, CG Young,
Matt Amerlin, Nicole Wardle, and Calvin Wirtz. I'm Brian Berger. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon right here on Sports Business Radio.
This and every SBR podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and your favorite listening app. Follow Sports Business Radio on Facebook, Twitter at SB Radio, Instagram at Sports Business Radio, and online at sportsbusinessradio.com. Sports Business Radio is produced by Brian Griggs and Griggs Productions, griggsproductions.com.